طيب الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وسلم تسليما كثيرا. All praises due to Allah, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to exalt the mention of the Prophet Muhammad and to grant him peace, his companions and all those who follow them on the righteous path until the Day of Judgment. Continuing with Al-Aqidah Al-Wasitiyah al-Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, with the Sharh of Shaykh Muhammad bin Salih al-Uthaymeen, may Allah have mercy on him as well. We have been dealing with the names and attributes of Allah, and the last attribute that we were dealing with was that of
love.
Thank you. The attribute of love. Does Allah love? And if so, what are the evidences for that? Because we said you can never make a claim unless you have an evidence to back that up. So we need a dalil. Maybe adilla, plural of dalil. More than one dalil. In this case we have adilla, right? We have Quranic, textual evidences from the Quran and from the narrations or the narratives of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And of course we said that our objective behind knowing these is not just academic knowledge. It requires, what we are really seeking is putting them into practice, practical implementation of the academic understanding. Because you know, you could get a hafiz of the book of Allah, whom if you tell him, from your memory, how often does the word love, hub, occur in the Quran? He may be able to bring them all from mind, you know, due to his memory of the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, regardless of the context. He will tell you every verse that has the word mahabba, hub, and what have you. But then, if that person is not putting that understanding or these qualities into practice, then what benefit does that bring? Nothing. So we want practical implementation of the academic understanding of the qualities of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we were dealing with the qist. Remember, there was a... I made some further investigation regarding this particular term, regarding the misconception that occurred last time. And I found that the dictionaries translate qist as justice. And so they still had that. So the Shaykh was being maybe technical, pertaining to something that is beyond us. Otherwise, according to the people, the word qist continues to indicate the same meaning, and it does not indicate injustice. This may be, for whatever reason, there's a difference maybe among the linguists, or knowledge that is beyond us. Then we will just surrender, because we don't want to dwell into things that we're not sure about. But I did find translations of the dictionary, Arabic, English and so forth, that continue to say qist without the al-hamza to be justice. But anyways, we'll leave that behind. We stopped at the statement of the Shaykh rahimahullah, that in order dealing with how to treat people, then we said you experiment upon yourself. Before you treat someone a particular way, try it on yourself. If he were to treat you in this way you intend on treating him, would you be satisfied? If so, go ahead. If not, then back off. Don't do something to someone that you don't want someone to do to you. Now, although we may know this, but we very hardly implement. Just in driving, when you're driving your car, sometimes you make a mistake. You know, you make a mistake, you know you made a mistake. But the person makes a big deal out of your mistake. You know, and he hangs the horn when he sees you, he may give you some you know, gestures and things of this sort. And you think, oh man, I made a mistake. You know, why this reaction? But then when it happens the other time, when someone does make a mistake, then we automatically want to do the same thing. Also honk at him and react in a certain way. Waalaikum salam. Huh? Although if we were to think about it in this context, if you wanted someone to forgive you when you made a mistake, then you should be willing to say, خلاص معلش, يعني حصل خير, you know, and let things go. From personal experience, we often forget this idea of trying something on ourselves. If we like it, then do it to others. But very often we don't like it for ourselves, but we will do it to others. And this is not something that Allah loves. This is among the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dislikes. And Allah loves justice. And justice entails, the Shaykh said, وَيَدْخُلُ فِي ذَلِكَ الْعَدْلُ بَيْنَ الْأَوْلَادِ فِي الْعَطِيَةِ أو العطية والله أعلم. قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم اتقوا الله وأعدلوا بين أولادكم. Included in justice is that which you give as a gift to your children. Whatever you give to your children, The Prophet ﷺ said, have taqwa of Allah and be just with your children. يعني, you don't give someone something and leave the other one without anything. Okay? Now of course this varies from one child to another, from their needs and what have you. That's another discussion that we will not dwell into. But on general basis, a man came to the Prophet ﷺ and he had given his one of his children a gift. And he came to have the Prophet ﷺ acknowledge. He told him, do you have other children? He said, yes. Said, did you give each of them that which you have given this man? He said, no. He said, then go to someone else because I will not bear witness. I will not testify to oppression. And this is considered, the Prophet ﷺ considered this a form of oppression. So there must be justice. If you gave him that, then you give the other one a similar gift. So there will be justice between the children. That's one included in justice. ويدخل في ذلك العدل بين الورثة في الميراث فيعطي كل واحد نصيبة ولا يوصي لأحد منهم بشيء. Included in that is giving each one of the inheritors his share of inheritance. Everyone gets a share of inheritance. You don't deprive anyone. Some people write in their will, you know, don't give anything to my, you know, such and such son because he's upset with him. That's haram. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had already divided the irth. So you cannot, the inheritance, and you cannot come and further divide that. And furthermore, you give each one their due right, or their right due to them, and then you do not, in your will, specify a particular one with something over the rest. Where you give someone more than the rest, of course this is dealing with the actual inheritance. But other things of beyond that, then of course you may have a wasiyah that in the will that you give such person something and things of the sort. But the original thing that Allah has divided in the Quran, then you don't, you know, justice is that you do it as it was mentioned or revealed in the Quran. Also included in justice, وَيَدْخُلُ بِذَلِكَ الْعَدْلُ بَيْنَ الْزَوْجَاتِ. For those of you who have zawjat, for those of you who have zawja, and you don't have to worry about that for the time being. بِأَنْ تَقْسِمْ لِكُلِّ وَاحِدَةٍ مِثْلَ مَا تَقْسِمُ لِلْأُخْرَى. Included in justice is that justice between your wives, that you give each one, alaykum salam. If you give each one that which you are giving the other, so you know you don't give one, buy her a Mercedes and the other one is driving a Tercel. You know, that's a little bit, you know, not really working. It's not good, and it's injustice. But the scholars say if one had five children and the other one doesn't have that any children, then obviously you're not going to be spending equally on both because one requires more money than other. So these are all intricate details. We're only dealing on the outside, you know, the face value of things. Otherwise, within the fiqh, there are further discussions about how these things are to be dealt with, situation on case to case. But generally speaking, they are to be treated equally in terms of time and in terms of spending and clothing, things of the sort. Of course, in terms of intimacy and what have you, then this is something that, you know, you cannot control. You may lean towards one more than the other, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not hold you accountable for that, as long as it is not leading to oppression, where one is being deprived of a right. Again, we will not dwell into that. طيب. وَيَدْخُلُ فِي ذَلِكَ الْعَدْلُ فِي نَفْسِكَ فَلَا تُكَلِّفُهَا مَا لَا تَطِيقُ مِنَ الْأَعْمَالِ لِأَنَّ لِرَبِّكَ عَلَيْكَ حَقًّا وَلِنَفْسِكَ عَلَيْكَ حَقًّا وَعَلَى هَذَا فَقِسْ. Also included in justice is the way you treat yourself with justice. So you do not burden yourself with deeds that you're unable to carry out. And some of us forget this sometimes. And he thinks he's Shaykh al-Islam. As soon as Allah guides him, you know, from misguidance, he wants to, you know, barge into the deen and implement everything simultaneously. Want to do qiyam and the sunan and reciting Quran all day and all night dhikr. What happens is, you do that for some time until you're worn out. You're like anybody running. You know, you run fast in the beginning, then you're going to get tired. Then what happens to these individuals usually is that they leave everything altogether again. You see? But Prophet ﷺ said, he encouraged moderation. Moderate in worship. Moderation in your worship to Allah. When he heard some men who said, I will pray all night and I will not sleep. Another one then said, I will fast all the time. I will not break my fast. A third one said, I will not get married. The Prophet ﷺ heard, the news reached him. He went to these men. He said, did you say such and such? He said, yes. He said, well, I get married And I fast some days and I break on others. And I pray it sometimes at night and I sleep at others. And مَنْ رَغِبَ عَنْ سُنَّتِي فَلَيْسَ مِنِّي. And whoever desires other than my sunnah, he's not of me. So someone wants to be extra, say, listen man, you need to slow down, because you will reach a point where you will, you will not be able to do it. And one of the Salaf had this issue with him, where he used to love to recite the Quran. And but he told the Prophet ﷺ, told him, recite it in a month. He said, oh Messenger of Allah, I'm able to do more. He continued to deal with him until he agreed on the 3 days. He said, do not do it below, you know, the gap of 3 days. He said then when he became old, he was unable to do that anymore. He said, I wish I had heard the advice of the Messenger of Allah ﷺ back then. Because he reached a time where he was unable to do that anymore. Whether it was the Quran or the Qiyam at night, I'm not sure which one it is. Either way, generally speaking, moderation in worship. Don't burden yourself with things that you will eventually get tired of. So the Prophet ﷺ said, what are the most beloved deeds to Allah? That which is continuous, even if it is little. Continuity. To continue to do something consistently is more beloved to Allah than that which you do occasionally and then you leave off. You do a lot of it, but then you leave it off. That is not beloved to Allah as much as when you do something that is small, but it is continuous. So this we must understand. I don't know if any one of us has even reached a point where he's excited to do all these acts of worship for us to even, you know, fall back. But just in case someone had, then moderation is required based on being just to yourself. You know, don't overburden yourself. You will get tired and then you will not be able to give others their rights. And so we need to be mindful of that. The Shaykh said, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a right over you. And sometimes you work too much where you don't worship. وَلِنَفْسِكَ عَلَيْكَ حَقَنًا. Your nafs, your soul, your body. You get tired. You're physically, you know, the doctor may tell you, listen man, you need to rest. And then you just ignore that until you become ill. And the Shaykh said, and according to that, estimate. You know, measure other incidents according to this understanding. That each must be given their due right, and do not burden yourself with things that you're unable to carry out. طيب. The Shaykh said, وَهُنَا يَجِبُ أَن نُنَبِّهَا عَلَىٰ أَنَّ مِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَسْتَعْمِلْ بَدَلِ الْعَدِلِ الْمُسَاوَاتِ وهذا خطأ لا يقال مساواة لأن المساواة قد تقتضي التسوية بين شيئين الحكمة تقتضي التفريق بينهما أو بينهما نعم. The Shaykh said we must point out something that actually although is not only among the Arabic speaking people rather also in the English we have the same problem. He said we must point out this mistake that is used by the people where they replace the word adil, justice, with musawat, equity or equality. Now, because although sometimes in English they are synonymous, they are the same meaning, sometimes, not all the time. In Arabic there's also a distinction depending on the intention of the speaker. In English there's difference between justice and equity or equality. Although they may be used sometimes interchangeably, but in essence, the essence of the meaning, they're not the same. The Shaykh said, this is a mistake. You do not say equality or equity. Because equality indicates that you equate between two things. Although wisdom may indicate that you should make a distinction between them. The word equality indicates that you treat two things equally. Although the wisdom indicates, which is the deen of Allah, that there must be a distinction between them. And of course, you could strike hundreds of examples about that. In terms of treating, can you treat the father like this, the old person like the young person? And you say, wallah, this is musawat, this is equality. Say, no, the older person has a right that is not due for the young. And so forth. أَفَنَجْعَلُ الْمُسْلِمِينَ كَالْمُجْرِمِينَ مَا لَكُمْ كَيْفَ تَحْكُمُونَ. Allah says in the Quran, shall we treat the Muslims like the criminals? What is the matter with you people? How do you judge? You know, they're not the same. So if you want to use this mentality of equality, then you make the Muslim and the kafir equal. Are they equal? No. Justice indicates that you don't treat them equally. So now you see the difference between justice and equality. The Shaykh will give us some examples. وَمِنْ أَجْلِ هَذِهِ الدَّعْوَةِ الْجَائِرَةِ إِلَى التَّسْوِيَةِ صَارُوا يَقُولُونَ أَيِّ فَرْقٌ بَيْنَ الذَّكَرِ وَالْأُنْثَى وَسَوَّوا بَيْنَ الذُّكُورِ وَالْإِنَاثِ حتى إن الشيوعية قالت أي فرق بين الحاكم والمحكوم. He said due to this this invitation, this oppressive invitation to make equality between things, they reached a point where they said, what is the difference between a male and a female? Huh? There's no difference between a male and a female. Now this is very common in the West, you know, that whatever a woman, whatever a man has, then a woman should also be given a chance to acquire. If a man works in this government agency, then why not a woman? If there's a policeman, there should be a policewoman. If there's a male soldier, then they want a female soldier. And the list goes on. So this understanding have led to that. Equality, 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 equality. So what's the difference between male and woman? The Sheikh said, so they made equality between the males and the females. Furthermore, the communists, Shuyu'iyya, they went to the extent to say, what is the difference between al-hakim, the governor, wal-mahkum, and the governed, or the ruler, and those who are ruled? No difference between them. And is there such thing in Islam? There is a difference between them, between the ruler and the ruled. I mean, he's the ruler and you're being ruled. That's the first thing. That's common sense. He's the one who's taking care of you and you're the one being taken care of. You know, he has some rights and you have some rights and things of the sort. They're not equal. They are not to be treated equally. He has a status that Islam gave him that if you violate, then this will cause fitna among the people. You cannot have someone come to the ruler and, you know, slap him on his face and say, "You are me and you are the same." Then what do you think the people will do the next day? They will come and throw the ruler out. Then there will be chaos among the people. So there must be someone in authority, in a sense, making sure that everything is in, of course, according to the deen of Allah, not according to his own misguidance or deviance. According to the deen of Allah, someone must be in charge, where his command is obeyed. And we have this in the Quran and in the Sunnah. In the Sunnah of Rasulullah, he said, whoever will live amongst you, he will see a lot of difference. Huh? Then he said, عليكم بالسمع والطاعة, upon you is hearing and obeying. Regardless of the ruler, you must obey in order for peace and security to be in the Muslim community. Otherwise, as you see in other countries, daily riots and they try and do revolution against the ruler, and the ruler goes back fighting against the people, and all you have is bloodshed. And innocent Muslims are being killed. And this is one of the gravest sins in the sight of Allah. One of the most hated things to Allah is that the blood of a believer is shed wrongfully. You know, it is so valuable in the sight of Allah. So many narrations that if you read them, you'll be shocked. That many other things are easier to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or more acceptable to Allah than shedding the blood, huh? The shedding of the blood of a believer. And now killing Muslims is like having a pizza. You know, you just go anywhere, put a bomb, it doesn't matter who dies. You go to a masjid. A masjid where people are worshipping Allah, yalla. And the person thinks he's going to shahada, he's going closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by killing his Muslim brothers in the state of worship. That's the deviance that has developed among some of the Muslims, where they were the misinterpretation of the deen, like the Khawarij. All the way from the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallam, this mentality existed. The Khawarij said the Sahaba are kuffar. The Khawarij is the first deviant sect in Islam. The first people to, the first group to go off the mainstream Islam were the Khawarij. They were fighting the Sahaba. They said the Sahaba kuffar, they must be eliminated. And the Prophet ﷺ said, if you've seen them, these Khawarij, if you've seen them in worship, you will think you're nothing. If you compare, the Prophet ﷺ told his companions, if you compared your salah to their salah and your fasting to their fasting, you will consider yourself nothing. Their hands had crust on their they had crust on their hand from continuous sujood. The Prophet ﷺ said, they are the dogs of the hellfire. And if I were alive amongst you, I will fight against them. And I will kill them. Prophet ﷺ, the Khawarij, who came and fought against the Sahaba, and they wind up deviating off the mainstream Islam. So why? Because of misunderstanding of the deen. They did not understand things in the right context, took some verses off, outside the context of the intent, you know, and so forth. And this led to all these problems. And now we have them today with the same mentality. If you have alliance with a particular party, even if you have some intentions behind that, some wise intentions, that you're looking for the peace or you're looking for the well-being of the Muslims, they consider you to be a disbeliever, and shedding your blood is just something rewarding for them. So we have to be careful of these deviant groups that exist among the Muslims today. And we're not trying to undermine jihad. Okay, no one has the right to do that. This is of the deen of Allah. There's another extreme group who are involved in da'wah who really lie. They lie. And I've heard them with my own ears. People who are supposed to be a figure in da'wah, figure in knowledge, they deliberately lie and hide Islamic facts about jihad, trying to please the kuffar. So Islam is a deen of peace. Peace, 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 peace. But how do you bring the word jihad and peace within the same context? You can't, ya akhi. Islam is a religion of justice. And it is part of justice that you deal with the kuffar in a particular way according to the revelation of Allah, which Allah had legislated for us. And we cannot call that peace. You know, picking up a sword and chopping off someone's head in the battlefield is not peaceful in any way, shape or form. So to say Islam equals peace is actually counter da'wah. Because you know what happens? And you've seen it. The kuffar, they open the Quran and they read the statement of Allah. So kill them wherever you find them. It's okay. Huh? You've heard this before? Verses in the Quran. Kill them wherever you find them. And say, okay now, you liar. You told me your religion is peace. What is this verse in your book? So what are you going to say? Oh, this actually applies. And I've heard some weird interpretations. I've heard people trying to lie in the presence of the kuffar in order to find an outlet for them. And had they been honest with themselves and with Allah, Allah would have made the people understand, even if jihad was part of the Islam. If they want to use jihad as a reason not to embrace Islam, then they need to leave Christianity and Judaism. Because we could bring you the Bible and we will give you 20, 30, 40, 50 quotations where Moses was commanded to go kill everyone except the virgin girls. Kill the women that have laid with men. Kill the oxes, kill the donkeys, kill the men, and leave for yourselves the virgin women. And they left, they evacuated the people by killing them. Huh? They were left with 32,000 virgins. This was in their Bible. So if you say that, you know, the Quran is a book of violence and your book is a book of peace, then what is this in your book? And if this is from God, then the same thing was quoted David and Goliath and a number of people. What is it, Shamshum, the guy with the hair? Samson. All these people had a violent account in the Bible. So when we give da'wah, we keep it real. Say, listen man, we do have jihad, but guess what? This is not something new. Look at the references there. And even quotations attributed to Jesus. He says, do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. I came to bring the fire. I wish the earth was already kindled. This is the statement of Jesus that they claim is the man, they call him the King of Peace. He in the Bible said, don't think I came to bring peace. Until I make a separation, he said, between the Father and His Son. I will make a separation between the Father and His Son. He wished that fire will be kindled already. It will be lit in the earth. So we can always say, listen, don't try to pick on us. We are doing this for a legitimate reason. Revelation from Allah. For the maintenance of Islam. If you don't have power, people will throw you out. If you work in a business and no one is backing you up, they will fire you. But you may be the only reliable employee in this business. So because of your need for the well-being of the whole business, because of your good character, then you need some strength in order to maintain your job. This is common sense. Similarly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knew this is the last religion, last prophet, last revelation. If the Muslims were to be killed during any time because they had no jihad, if given the other cheek, they would have died already. And how me and you and all these people who are becoming Muslims today, how would they be Muslims? How would they receive the revelation of Allah? It would be impossible. So it was necessary that truth was supported with that. But then we have etiquettes and guidelines of battle. We don't, no treachery, no betrayal, no killing women, no killing old men, no killing worshippers, no burning trees, no destroying homes, no killing animals except the ones that you're going to eat. That's it. Then who are you fighting with? Men on the battlefield. And you know, which is being done. Crusaders, they've done that. So look how the politics of a war in Islam versus the kuffar, who will fly with a plane, drop a bomb on a milk factory, and kill everybody in the neighborhood. We cannot do this in Islam. You see? So we need to understand these things so we can explain them to the people so we will not have to lie. Because when you lie, it's going to backfire. And then people wind up having no exit. They wind up contradicting themselves. Islam is a religion of peace. Oh yeah, then why did you do that? And why did you do this? And so I suggest that we learn these things and don't lie in da'wah for any reason. You know, keep it real. keep it real as Allah revealed it, then Allah will support you with that truth. Because of you saying the truth, you'll be supported. Sorry for going off the subject, but this is very relevant to this particular discussion. طيب. So the Shaykh said, so then what is the difference between the ruler and that which is ruled, or those who are ruled? لا يمكن أن يكون لأحد سلطة لأحد. They say no one should have authority over another. حتى بين الوالد والولد. Not even the father over his son. According to them, the communists and others, there should be no difference between the father and the son. ليس للوالد سلطة على الولد وهلما جرى. Father has no authority over his son, and so on, so on and so forth. With this mentality of equality. So we say Islam is not a religion of equality, it's a religion of justice. And the Shaykh will say that. لكن إذا قلنا بالعدل وهو إعطاء كل أحد ما يستحقه زال هذا المحذور وصارت العبارة سليمة. But if we use the word justice, then and by giving each one his due right, then we don't have any problem anymore, and the particular statement becomes acceptable or correct, sound. Islam is justice, or Islam commands justice, or Allah commands justice. The Shaykh said, ولهذا لم يأتي في القرآن أبدا أن يأمر أن الله يأمر بالتسوية. He said, this is why you will never find in the Quran Allah commanding that you do تسوية, equality. لكن جاء, or rather Allah mentioned in the Quran, إن الله يأمر بالعدل. Right or wrong? Huh? بالعدل. Surah An-Nahl verse 90. Allah commands that you do justice. And Allah says in the Surah An-Nisa verse 58, وَإِذَا حَكَمْتُمْ بَيْنَ النَّاسِ أَنْ تَحْكُمُوا بِالْعَدِلِ. And if you judge between people, then do so with justice. Now what's the word used? عَدِل. عَدِل. And not مساواة. وَأَخْطَأَ عَلَى الْإِسْلَامِ مَنْ قَالَ إِنَّ الدِّينَ إِنَّ دِينَ الْإِسْلَامِ دِينُ الْمُسَاوَةِ. He has made a mistake against the Islam. That, or the one who said that Islam is a religion of equality. بل دين الإسلام دين العدل. Rather, the deen of Islam is the deen of justice. وهو الجمع بين المتساويين والتفريق بين المفترقين. Which is bringing together things that are equal, treating them in a sense, treating them equally, those are things that are equal, and making distinctions between things that are different. Father, son, they're different. So we make a distinction between them. No equality there. إلا أن يريد بالمساواة العدل فيكون أصاب في المعنى وأخطأ في اللفظ. The Shaykh said, but if we do hear this, and you've heard this maybe before, if the person does intend with the word مساواة, justice, then we say he has gotten the right understanding but the wrong terminology. يعني he used the wrong word. Instead of using it, he may mean by equality justice, you see, but he didn't use the right word. But his intention is justice, then we say his intent and the meaning he means is correct, but he used the wrong terminology. He should have used the word justice or adil. So I'm sure by now everybody has memorized the word adil, inshallah, and that adil is the what deen is, what the religion of Islam commands, and it is not musawa. Rather, the Shaykh continues to say, ولهذا كان أكثر ما جاء في القرآن نفي المساواة. This is why you find that often the verses in the Quran negate musawat, negate equality. Allah says, قُلْ هَلْ يَسْتَوِي الَّذِينَ يَعْلَمُونَ وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. Listen, قُلْ, say, هَلْ يَسْتَوِي, are they equal? الَّذِينَ يَعْلَمُونَ وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. Those who know and those who know not, are they equal? They're not equal. So you find that the always negation of equality and commandment of justice. Another verse, this was in Surah Az-Zumar verse 9. قُلْ هَلْ يَسْتَوِي الْأَعْمَى وَالْبَصِيرِ أَمْ هَلْ تَسْتَوِي الظُّلُمَاتُ وَالنُّورِ. Say, is the blind person equal to the one who has sight? Or are the darknesses equal to the light? Again, they're not. This was Surah Al-Ra'd verse 16. Al-Ra'd, the thunder or the lightning. لا يستوي منكم, سورة الحديد verse 10, لا يستوي منكم من أنفق قبل الفتح وقاتل أولئك أعظم درجة من الذين أنفقوا من بعد وقاتلوا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, interpretation of the meaning in English, they are not equal amongst you, those who spent before Fatih. What is Fatih? The conquering of Mecca. Fatih is really opening. But here, the context we know from the ayah, from the seerah, this was the opening or the conquering of Mecca. So Allah says they're not equal those who spent prior to that phase and they fought. Those are greater in degree with Allah from those who spent and fought afterwards. So there was a phase before the conquering of Mecca and one after. Again, لا يستوى. There's no استوى. There's no مساوات. The last ayah in Surah An-Nisa, verse 95. لا يستوى القاعدون من المؤمنين غير أولي الضرر والمجاهدون في سبيل الله. Likewise, they are not equal those who remain behind among the believers. They're not equal those who remain behind from engaging in jihad from among the believers, except those who are disabled. And those who fought in the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or they struggled in the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Shaykh said finally, وَلَمْ يَأْتِي حَرْفٌ وَاحِدٌ فِي الْقُرْآنِ يَأْمُرُ بِالْمُسَاوَاتِ أَبَدًا إِنَّمَا يَأْمُرُ بِالْعَدْلِ. There isn't a single letter in the Quran which commands equality, rather it always commands justice. طيب. وَكَلِمَةُ الْعَدْلِ أَيْضًا تَجِدُونَهَا مَقْبُولَ لَدَ النُّفُوسِ. The Shaykh said, likewise or also, you will find that the word عَدْل is acceptable to the people. You know, you feel more comfortable with the word عدل than the word مساوات. وأحببت أن ننبه على هذا لألا نكون في كلامنا إمعة. The Shaykh said, I liked or I intended or I desired to notify the brothers regarding this so in order not to be a container in our daily speech. يعني you hear someone saying something, and then you know because of this particular term being used among the people, then you also start using it. And among them is the word, who can guess, that the people use often. And so because of the usage of the word, even if it's incorrect, we wind up using it also. Muttawir. I always, you know,
Muttawir.
Here really it's Muttawir because it's in the Quran. Muttawirin comes in the plural, speaking about those who were given sadaqah and they were criticized by the munafiqeen who try to put them down for the nafaqah, for the charity that they, that's all they can afford. They said, well, Allah doesn't need this, you know, sa'af tamr, just a little bit of dates, Allah doesn't need this. So they did criticism and they were gossiping and backbiting them and putting him down. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala defended them and he called them al-muttawi'in. So now the people associate, we said, the word muttawi' with that's it. They cannot see beyond that. So we don't want to pick up that understanding and go with it, because we will become like a container. Whatever people throw in us, we keep. And we shouldn't be like that. Rather, if it's good, then we keep it. If it's bad, you toss it back out. A mutawwi' is someone who is obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we said that the beard is a form of obedience. But it is not only, it is not all obedience. How often is a person who is long bearded and a'udhu billah on the inside, he is not really the most obedient person. So we don't want to give someone this tazkiyah, praising that he is mutawwi', although he may not be mutawwi'. You know, and I've come across some of these individuals who eat people's money. You know, people who consume people's money in haram. They give false promises, they lie, and his beard is this big. And it's the worst reputation in the world, because everybody says, look, mutawwi' kadhab, mutawwi', mutawwi', mutawwi'. So he caused problems for the people at the end of the day, for those who do have beards. Otherwise, the beard, we said, is a form of obedience. It's an indication, it indicates some things in that particular person, that he is in attachment to the Prophet ﷺ and following his footsteps, and other things that we mentioned in the lectures, which I'm not going to repeat right now. But the idea is, this is not correct to call someone who has a facial hair mutawwi', because we're giving him a title which he may not deserve. And this is not what the criteria was during the time of the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, where they called the one who was had a beard mutawwi' and the opposite. You see what I'm saying? So the Shaykh was dealing with that, because people become imma'a, say Islam, deenu musawat, equality, so okay, Islam is the religion of equality, without understanding what we're saying. He said, إِنَّ بَعْضَ النَّاسِ يَأْخُذُ الْكَلَامَ عَلَى عَوَاهِنِهِ. Some people just take the speech without any elaboration or reflection upon it. فَلَا يُفَكِّرْ فِي مَجْرُولِهِ وَفِي مَنْ وَضَعَهُ وَفِي مَغْزَاهِ عِنْدَ مَنْ وَضَعَهُ. So he does not think about what that word is indicating, and who has put it, who has used this word to begin with, and what was the intent by the one who had put it, who has used this word. So we say mutawwi', and we're not thinking of the thing that I explained to you right now. Maybe you've never thought of this before. But when you do see a bearded brother, say, Mutawwi', this is your Dajjaj. You know, anywhere you go, say, Mutawwi' and Mutawwi', Mutawwi'. And at the end of the day, this becomes a title for you. But your name is Ahmad, Rabi', Mustafa, Muhammad, something else. And you may not necessarily be a Mutawwi'. So is that clear? That we don't just follow whatever the people come up with in terms of, you know, new titles for the brothers in Islam. We ask Allah to make us all among the Mutawwi'een, who are obedient to Allah and His Messenger in the ultimate sense, including, I'm not trying to debase having a beard. I mean, it's obvious what the requirement is, but at the same time we want to be fair, because sometimes much emphasis is put on the outwardly appearance and inside is corruption. And you know, we want to purify inwardly and outwardly. When you purify the inside, then the outside will become pure naturally. Prophet ﷺ said, "There's in the body, there's a piece of flesh. If it is sound, then the whole body is sound. The whole thing is sound, from your toes up until your last hair. You know, the way you conduct yourself, from keeping your nails clean, for instance, cleanliness in general, shaving your armpit hair, your air private area, the hair over there, in terms of cleanliness, things of the sort, having a good smell, taking care of the teeth." Letting the beard grow, pants being above the head, all this, huh? If the heart is sound, then these things will naturally become sound as the consequence of the soundness of the heart, because they're part of the deen. And when your heart is sound, we said that you will accept the deen. Whatever the deen says, yalla, bismillah, huh? You're willing to do it, ala tool. There's no negotiation and objection to whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or His Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had commanded. So we see the relationship between inwardly and outwardly. We want to rectify both. Don't focus on the outside while the inside is corrupt. And if the inside is good, then the outside will become good. So this is how we look at this. Wallahu ta'ala alam. Tayyib. What does this ayah, ya akhwan, have from the attributes of Allah? وَفِي الْآيَةِ مِنَ الْأَسْمَاءِ وَالصِّفَاتِ مَا سَبَقَ فِي الَّتِي قَبْلَهَا. First, what is the ayah that we were dealing with? I remember. Yes, sir. What was the ayah? Now we mentioned many ayat. Remember, see, we always forget. We will be dealing with one ayah, and then all this is tafsir for the ayah. And then the Shaykh will quote other ayat to explain other things relevant to the ayah. But what was the main ayah? You know, my advice to the brothers, what by the grace of Allah I did back then with our Shaykh, is that I had a notebook. And in the notebook I would write each evidence that Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah used, and I sufficed that, and I would put some side notes on the side. But the main thing was the ayat that Ibn Taymiyyah originally authored in his book rahimahullah. So the first one, their first ayah was what? In aywa wa ahsinu, the first ayah quoted in the sifa of mahabba of Allah, wa ahsinu inna Allah yuhibbul muhsinin. We dealt with that. Then we said wa aqsitu inna Allah yuhibbul muqsitin. That was the second, and all this is the discussion under the second ayah. So you know that. Now we will go to the third. We'll go to the third. But what did that ayah include from the attributes of Allah? وَأَقْسِطُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُقْسِطِينَ. Attribute of love. That's it. Right? Again, because we're using all these ayat because of the attribute of love. It may have had another one, but in this ayah it didn't. It's a short ayah. Be just, Allah loves those who do justice. That's it. So the quality we have is love. The names of Allah. Allah. Inna Allah. Tayyib. Alhamdulillah. We're getting this. MashaAllah. Tabarakallah. The third ayah. That's the one you need to note down. قَوْلُهُ فَمَسْتَقَامُوا لَكُمْ فَاسْتَقِيمُوا لَهُمْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُتَّقِينَ. So long that they are true to you, huh? Stand you also true to them. Verily Allah loves those who are pious. Muttaqeen, or as righteous, pious, and we will define that in a little bit inshallah. This was Surah At-Tawbah, verse 7. Now in the explanation, the Shaykh will begin by saying, فَمَا شَرْطِيَّ وَفِعْلُ الشَّرْطِ إِسْتَقَامُوا وَجَوَابُهُ فَاسْتَقِيمُوا. Fama is conditional. It's a conditional part of the sentence. Conditional. Yani as long as. As long as. Well, even in English, as long as you come on time, we will be able to go. So that you made being able to go conditional to The person coming on time. The word that was used is as long as. طيب. Or if. Usually the condition is usually no with if. If you treat me good, I will treat you good. So what is the condition here? The word used for condition is if. Fama in Arabic is like the if. شرطية وفعل شرط. The verb of the conditional verb is استقاموا. They are true to you. استقامة from the word مستقيم, which means being upright, being true, being straight, not going maneuvering or zigzagging or going up and down. That's what استقامة means. فاستقيموا. Then the answer, the conditional clause, the answer of the condition is then you remain true to them. So if they are true to you, then you be true to them. That's clear. طيب. مهما استقام لكم المعاهدون الذين عاهدتم عند المسجد الحرام بالوفاء بالعهد فاستقيموا لهم في ذلك. As long as those whom you have taken the covenant with remain true to their covenant, that those you have done this at the Masjid al-Haram, then that you will fulfill the oath, then you must also be true to them and fulfill their covenant. وهذه الجملة الشرطية تقتضي بمنطوقها أنهم إذا استقاموا لنا وجب أن نستقيم لهم وأن نوفي بعهدهم, وتدل بمفهومها على أنهم إذا لم يستقيموا لا نستقيم لهم. The Sheikh said, and this conditional sentence indicates through the understanding, and this is actually one of the principles of tafsir according to previous generations, but the one I've garnered from is Sheikh Nasr al-Sa'di rahimahullah. Sheikh Nasr al-Sa'di is the Sheikh of Sheikh bin Uthaymeen. He is his Sheikh among the many students that he had. He's the author of the book, the famous tafsir, Tafsir al-Karim al-Rahman, fi tafsir kalam al-Mannan. This particular tafsir we're dealing with on Friday at the Da'wah Center. Every Friday from 9:30 a.m. till 10:30 a.m. the tafsir of Sheikh Sa'di, an unbelievable tafsir. يعني very simple, very straight, very beneficial. It's not like Ibn Kathir rahimahullah that requires us to be more knowledgeable, dealing with a lot of things. This brother just brings it down, breaks it down, and he brings it in simple wording, yet with the right understanding. Sheikh Sa'di rahimahullah. Anyways, among the principles he mentioned in the tafsir is that that which is you understand things through the what has been confirmed. يعني, if Allah mentioned that those who will enter Jannah are those who have A, B, C qualities, then you automatically understand that those who will not enter Jannah are the ones who don't have these qualities, without a verse being mentioned like that. You see? يعني, say مفهوم المخالفة, the understanding of opposition. That when something is established, the opposite is understood. You don't need to mention it. This is common sense and is from the principles of tafsir. With that principle, the Shaykh said, we understand if they remain upright and true to us, then it is obligatory upon us to remain upright and true to them, and that we fulfill their covenant. And also it indicates in his understanding that if they're not, then we don't have to. If they're not true to us, then you do not have to be true to them, right or wrong? Does the verse have to be revealed that says if they're not true to you, then do not be true to them? We say no. Because of the eloquence of the Quran and the principles of tafsir that has been laid down from the Sahaba and the early Mufassireen, Mujahid and Ikrama, and from the students of Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu wa arda, the Turjuman of the Quran, the interpreter of the Quran, the original one, Ali radiallahu anhu wa arda, we have principles in tafsir. So we do not need a verse that says if they're not keeping the covenant, then don't keep it. Once Allah says if they keep it, then you keep it, you understand that if they don't, then we don't. Is that clear? And there's many other examples that we can quote in this particular context. And due to that, and since my earlier promise to leave some time for any discussion, we will conclude. Next week, بإذن الله عز وجل, we'll be dealing with the three kinds of mu'ahidun, the three levels or kinds of the people whom Muslims are in covenant with. You know, those who keep it, those who betray, and those who have the tendency to that you think that they may betray you, and how Islam dealt with each one of these parties. And this is relevant to this current day in terms of the Muslims' relationship with other non-Muslim countries. Then بإذن الله عز وجل we'll be dealing with the next verse. So we'll leave that till next week بإذن الله عز وجل. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك, أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت, استغفرك وأتوب إليك.